Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Bright Vibe Podcast. At Bright Vibe, we believe everyone deserves to be happy. But in today's world, everywhere you turn, there is division and negativity. At Bright Vibe, we have created a global movement to bring 8 million people together who are inspired to live bright, live bold, and share bright vibes. Alone, it can be hard to change, but together we can change the world. Welcome to the Bright Vibe Podcast.
Allison Reeves, welcome to the Bright Vibe Podcast. So happy to have you on today.
Thank you for having me.
You're a business coach, but more than that, I would say you're a mindset coach, you're a manifestation coach, you're an abundance coach, but you work with businesses, business leaders, and probably individuals that are, you know, in the early stages to obviously probably executives. When I boil it down, business is 95% mindset, right? Or maybe 99% mindset, depending on where you're at in the deal. But when I say business coach, kind of what is your specialty?
I started in marketing in 2011. Mm-hmm. So my background was heavy digital marketing. I started actually a blog for myself on WordPress, and the company promoted me to website administrator, which in 2011 was coding CSS and HTML, which I was very unqualified for, but learned quickly. I discovered marketing. So search engine optimization, blogging, social media marketing. And then the next company I worked for was really web-based service marketing. So I did a lot of advertising, and what I noticed at one of my full-time jobs was they were working mostly in real estate investing, and a lot of the real estate investors would make a lot of money with real estate and then end up selling courses and coaching.
Yes.
And so that's how I discovered courses and coaching. And at the time I was giving away consulting for free, not knowing that it was a business. And that's kind of when I started dipping my toes into the coaching and consulting water. So to answer your question, business coaching with a strong online solopreneur focus.
Right. And which is a huge space right now. And I've dipped my toe kind of like you talked about real estate. I've dipped my toe in the real estate education space because I have a background in that. And I'm planning to go back there in a more of an open format. But definitely that is a huge expanding, growing, you know, so, if you know, as we're talking today, just know that there are so many areas that are coachable. I mean, I've heard people coaching everything from how to knit to how to train cats, to how to, you name it, there's a coaching niche for it, which was just blew my mind until about 2 or 3 years ago that this was even a thing.
I think it's exploded a lot, coaching, basically.
And I think it's going to continue because it's almost this wave of new education. It's like, how do you educate yourself very quickly in a kind of a very curated container where you have typically, you know, the content, but I think more importantly, the community that sits around the content and that's discussing it much like a classroom, but it's people that are much more motivated to learn. And you just have these really cool, no matter what you want to learn, there's faster ways to do it than getting a 4-year college degree, I guess is my point.
Yeah, totally. You ask someone the specific question you have on the specific thing you want to do instead of generalizing and hoping for the best.
Yeah, exactly. And so you've got a new book coming out. We're going to use that book as some of the catalyst for today's conversation because I think it's so important to success because it's a lot about mindset. The book is called Embodied Abundance. So it's coming out this summer, but Embodied Abundance. And kind of the subtitle of that is this wealth wounds and the antidotes for that, right? And so I really wanted to start part of our conversation around this term because I'd not ever heard this term before. So I've heard, you know, embodied, I've heard abundance, but I've never heard this thing called wealth wounds put quite that way. So what do you mean when you say wealth wounds?
Yeah. What was interesting to me about business coaching was, like you said, most of my clients, like a lot of the testimonials and case studies I have, they would buy from me because of the business side and they would get results from me because of the mindset coaching, which is something I never set out to do, but something that I had to learn about on my own a lot. And I started teaching about money mindset specifically in 2019, and I started noticing patterns of money mindset issues of, you know, the limiting beliefs, like categories of limiting beliefs around money. And so I created a quiz on how to identify your core money mindset issue, And I called those wealth wounds, which I mostly invented. Although if you look at the hashtag on Instagram, you'll see a couple other people using that term.
Right.
But that is like categories of money mindset issues.
Got it. And to be clear, no guest pays me to be on this show. I just want to, because sometimes when I get so passionate about talking to people about what they do that it sounds like I'm an infomercial or something, but I just really curious because so much of what we're talking about today, I've experienced in my own life and I see so many others doing it. So this is not an infomercial for Allison, but you do make this available for free, these quizzes on your website,
oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it's Allison, A-L-I-S-O-N Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S. .co, right? .co. But mm-hmm. but so, and you've got more than that quiz, but you've got a couple different quizzes on your website that are available for free. So if you want to know more about these wealth wounds that we're about ready to dive into deeper, there is a quiz where you can find out your own wealth wounds. So how many wealth wounds did you identify?
So I came up with 5 based on working with clients in the past and then market research and then testing the quiz with a few people, making sure the answers aligned with what they thought or that maybe they got a different answer than they thought they would, but then they read the description and they thought, oh, this is exactly what I'm struggling with right now.
So 5 wealth wounds, you're going to walk us through the 5.
Yeah.
And the reason we're talking about this is because I know from my own life and I know from just being around highly successful business people all the way down to, you know, people that are struggling to maintain a home or to survive. And I will say in every one of those cases, with very, very few exceptions at the very top end of business leaders, there's a struggle with money. It doesn't matter if they're a millionaire or have almost no money. There's this internal thing that either drives them. I've seen that several times. They have a wealth wound that is driving them almost to insanity to create wealth or to generate money. And then on the other side, you have people that basically reject money because of social conditioning or maybe religious conditioning, to where they've almost become, you know, I have to give everything away, otherwise I'm damned to hell type thing. And so I just see those spectrums. So I'm really curious about these 5 that you've identified.
Yeah. And I love everything you're saying resonates so much with this, with my clients and with the quiz and the research. And I love to say, if you're worried about money when you don't have it, and then you're worried about money when you do, it's not about the money.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's about the wound, right?
Yeah.
Look at this. I should be your manager. I should be your warm-up act when you go on stage. That's what I should be. I should be your warm-up act. Okay. So can you get into the 5? Can you give us some examples of the 5?
Yes, probably. So the 5 are scarcity is 1.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to write these down so I don't forget. Okay, scarcity is 1.
Scarcity is 1. Fear is another.
Mm-hmm. Scarcity, fear. Okay.
Avoidance.
Okay.
Murder.
Murder. Nice. That's going to be
martyr.
M-A-R-T. Oh, M-A, what? Martyr. Okay. Murder. Got it. I was like, murder. I was like, okay. I don't know what it means, but it's going to be a juicy one. But martyr, I kind of understand, and it will be a juicy one as well. Okay.
Yeah. Worthiness is the last one.
Oh, yeah. And I'm assuming almost most people have several of these. It's not just one, but there's one. It's kind of like a personality test, right? You're
yeah.
everything, but you kind of lean towards some a little bit more than you do others, right?
So right. And I'm not a scientist, right? So we're like looking at, there's, of course, overlap of these if I'm thinking yeah. about, but the way that they show up in your business definitely has different symptoms. I mean, health, wealth, and relationships are 3 big areas where probably any one of these wounds would show up.
Right. How are you defining scarcity? And then kind of what's an example of how that would show up?
So scarcity to me is thinking that there's not enough. Okay. So when I, and the, and all these have an antidote or like the opposite of, so the opposite of scarcity is abundance.
Right.
But scarcity is thinking there's not enough. I don't have enough time.
And that's no matter what stage of the game, because I've seen people that, again, are millionaires several times over, that live in that it's never enough scarcity mindset, right? Because they've probably come from a situation where they were always scared about not having enough. I can relate to that too. And then they kind of, it's just like more and more and more and more and more for the sake of just running from not having anything.
Yeah. Yeah. These show up no matter how much money you're making. And I have a client right now who's a great example of someone who, she was able to save just a lot of money. She's still mm-hmm. very young, in her 20s, and she had enough money to quit a full-time job, hire me as a coach, be making $0, but building her business and feeling really chill. But part of that is because she's just so scared to spend money. So even though she has enough money to live off for 2 whole years,
Right.
She's still constantly in fear of like where it's going to come from or so it shows up at every.
Okay. And then we have fear.
Yeah. And fear is like that it's not going to show up again. So fear is like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's like, even though I've had success, I'm afraid I'm going to lose it all. Or another way this shows up, which is there's some overlap here with avoidance, but some people who are afraid don't look at their money. Mm-hmm. Or they think, you know, more money, more problems.
Right.
They're afraid they're going to fail.
Okay.
All those ways that it shows up. And then the antidote to that is courage. And courage is really leaning into the unseen, the unknown, not knowing where it's going to come from, trusting that you're going to know the right step, all of that.
Nice. Okay. Avoidance.
Avoidance. I'm not going to look at it. So some people avoid it and don't spend it. Some people avoid it and spend a lot of it. But a lot of people I've worked with in entrepreneurship are not really tracking their finances very well. Mm-hmm. That was something where I would get so dysregulated looking at my finances.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, for a long time, I was like, let me just make more instead of worrying about spending less. That worked until it didn't.
Yes. And then what's the antidote?
The antidote is receptiveness, which is learning to lean into receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So like an example, I had a client who, when we were first started working together, she was making maybe $2,000 or $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get that up to like, you know, $6,000-$7,000 within 6 months, but she was still stressed about money all the time. So when I looked at her income, I realized she wasn't paying herself anymore.
Oh,
interesting. We had to set boundaries around you need to pay yourself more than you pay your people.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. And learn how to receive. And that was the problem that I had too, was paying other people more than I was paying myself.
Yep. We always think we're sacrificing for the business for a later date or it's, eventually, blah, blah. Yeah, I see that. Martyr.
Martyr is oddly, because when I was working with clients, I feel like this comes up all the time. But in the quiz result, it's the least popular result, which is interesting. But martyr is what it sounds like. It's like we're self-sacrificing. We don't want to make a lot of money because we feel guilty for charging more. And one thing I tell people who are suffering from this is like, you cannot make yourself broke enough to help every person you know who needs money.
Right. And then so what's the antidote?
Is empowerment.
Empowerment.
So leading into leadership.
Right. I had started with some partners in the nursing home space and the nursing home business. And one of my partners used to work for a not-for-profit, pretty large not-for-profit that was in the nursing home space before we became partners. And he said that he actually worked for a nun that ran the not-for-profit, a sister. I can't remember what her name, but I'm going to say Sister Rita because I know a Sister Rita. And so Sister Rita used to say, there is no mission without margin. We can only do good in the world to the point at which we can expand through abundance, ultimately, right? So if we don't make money, we can't serve more people. And I think that's, I think people who are maybe recovering from being the martyr, if you adopt that mindset of, well, I can serve more people if I can generate more revenue to run more ads and to get the message out and to pay people to help me to run, to kind of grow the business, then I'm actually doing good in the world. Only through enough margin to make that happen versus to your point, you can't shrink to profitability. You can some, but I mean, you can't just take from your business and expect it to do good in the world or to serve for very long.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last one started with a W and my writing so bad, work something.
It's worthiness, which actually
worthiness.
Really, that really relates to what we're just talking about too. Yeah. Because, you know, part of being able to serve other people is knowing that you're worth serving and that you're worth having. And the antidote to that is self-worth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but worthiness it's a little different than martyr because martyr is where we want to punish ourselves and hope that other people benefit. Whereas worthiness is more concerned about like, I just don't deserve well. I'm not good enough. Money only comes from doing things I don't like. So like in my full-time career, part of why I never advanced past a certain marketing manager level was because I didn't want to work any harder. I thought and part of that was I was accepting jobs that were chaotic and would overwork and underpay a bit. And so I thought, well, I'm not willing to be any more overworked. So I'm not going to. So I didn't realize that was a wealth wound.
Oh, interesting. And so kind of there's our wounds and there's our antidotes. Now, the key question is, how do we go from wounds to antidotes? What's the bridge there?
The bridge is probably the book, but the bridge.
I knew you were going to say that.
So at a high level, the bridge is like working on success mindset. That's right. I mean, you actually, and when I was listening to some of your episodes, I heard a really great talk on just success mindset in general. And that's really the key. The problem is that, and the reason why the book is going to exist is because mindset alone has limitations in my experience. So with all of these, a really great first step is what you would think. It's working through limiting beliefs, creating affirmations, you know, challenging any new limiting beliefs that come up. And then the limitation is if you're stuck in a cycle, and like a really great test for this is if you, I like to tell people, like, say an affirmation around the limiting belief. And if you feel constriction in your body when you say it, then you need to rewrite it for yourself. So create a bridge statement, right? So if you say something and it sounds like baloney, you're just gaslighting yourself. So find a bridge statement that sounds true. So for example, like, I am able to make an unlimited amount of money. That may feel like a total lie.
Right.
So, and then if that's causing stress in your body when you say it, an alternative is I'm getting better at making money.
You're right. Yep.
If you get stuck in a pattern that is limiting you, that's when it might be more of a nervous system issue. That's when it might be, and it doesn't matter what the source is, because it could be big T trauma, it could be little T trauma, it could be from your family, it could be from a long-term stressful situation. But if there's a wealth wound that is a pattern that is not being soothed by mindset work, then it might be a nervous system issue, a somatic issue.
On one of the other shows, and I've said this a couple of times, you know, Joe Polish, who's kind of a motivational guy, says the issues are in the tissues, right? So what you're telling me now is that the pattern may actually be, to some degree, a physical pattern that's stuck in our system. And so then that's a different type of work through or workout, I would assume, right? And so is that, are you talking about like breathing or?
Breathing is a great example of a tool. So in the word soma, have you heard of the word somatics before? Are you familiar with it? You are, yeah. Soma refers to the body. And so when we involve the whole body, we involve the whole nervous system, which is a lot more of your processing power than just your brain. And so one easy exercise, if we're just going to like cut to the chase, is like, if I'm stuck in a pattern. So I had a client, I'll give a really specific example, where she was sharing this. She was feeling a lot of stress in her body around like making money in her business. So she was kind of stuck in charging more or what she wanted to do. And what we can do to access trapped energy in the nervous system is tune into the emotion that's coming up with the situation. So for her, I'm having like nightmares about money. And when we tune into that, we tune into the emotion, feel the emotion, then we find whatever physical sensation comes up in the body, and we lean into that and be with that. And that may just be what it is, the physical sensation. We stop there and ask the next question. But a lot of times when we start tapping into physical sensations, we might do breath or movement or sound to start moving energy. Right. But at the end of all of that, you want to ask that part, that physical sensation, what do you need? And then we're asking that question without judgment, and we're finding answers like support, comfort, love, to have fun, to have adventure. And so that's the high level shortcut of like coaching yourself somatically is feel the feeling, find it in your body, ask it what it needs, and then giving it what it needs. So if it needs comfort, like what makes you feel comfort? And how can you resource that? So what makes me feel comfort is walking in a forest. Oh, the forest is not nearby. What else makes you feel that way?
Right.
Giving my husband a hug or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And I've been leaning more into this thought just in the last several months, especially, but I've done a lot of mindset work. I've done a lot of leadership training. I've done, you know, teaching also on space. But it seems like, especially in Western culture, we're so much in our heads about this stuff that it's like, I can overcome by having a better thought pattern, or I can overcome this by having a better affirmation, or having more motivation, or having more leverage on myself. And that some of that is true. But if we disconnect it from the bodily side of it, it's kind of like, trying to run the car by only fixing the engine and not the transmission. We gotta do both. We gotta look at the mindset side and then match it and mirror it and hook it up to the body. Otherwise, to your point, it's going to be a reoccurring pattern. And I think I really want to drive this point home in this talk is that ultimately, if we don't address both, and I would say even, maybe a spiritual component or a higher power or a higher purpose component to really supercharge that, you want to call it a trinity of kind of the body, mind, and soul, we've got to kind of block all these things in step. Otherwise, we're just going to keep living the life we've got because we don't have any choice. It's like if the body can't process it, then the body's going to continue to try to process it. And the only way it processes is by running the pattern again and again and again and again until something changes, right? And that's, and I think, you know, when you're writing about this and doing your work, I'm sure you're finding that with clients is that it's always pointing back to your, you said it, you know, you said it just a little bit ago. If it's not in the mindset space and it's a reoccurring pattern that you can see, then it is in the body and we got to address it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it really has to start with mindset. Like it makes it makes sense to me. Like we start with our mind because that's going to be like the first bottleneck.
Yep.
Or success is your self-belief. Mm-hmm. And then that has limitations. And so when you start hitting those walls, and that's what happened to me in my business and my life was mindset. I was like, oh my gosh, this changed my life. Like I always thought mindset was baloney until the one time somebody taught it to me in a way where it blew my mind.
Right.
And changed my life. And I had the biggest income months I'd ever had. But then I was like, well, I feel anxious, struggling to make money. I don't believe in myself anymore. And nobody was giving me any answers besides just say more affirmations. And it was like, like gaslighting or like toxic positivity. And so that's when I didn't learn about embodiment or somatic work and working with my nervous system until like 2021, 2022. Mm-hmm. And that's what really opened up. You know, you mentioned mind, body, soul is kind of like a holistic approach to wellness. And then to me, like once I felt safe in my body, which is what somatics did with the mind, like mindset somatics, that's when I was able to lean into like energetics and spirituality and and manifesting. Like I couldn't even look at manifesting until I addressed like mindset. I was always so intrigued by manifesting, as of course many of us are, right?
Yeah, like, of course, 100%.
You don't want to think about it and then feel it and then have it. Like that sounds great.
Right, we're instant. Through the drive-through. Let's just drive through the drive-through and they'll just hand us the money.
Yeah, and then it didn't. Then it quote unquote didn't work, and so. Like I bought all these courses and they had thousands of testimonials. And I was like, why am I struggling with this? And it's because I needed that somatic component to feel safe in my body. And then I could start leaning into the energetics and all that. That's a thing. I just went down a rabbit hole, but.
No, totally. Well, I wanted you to go down the rabbit hole because that's where I have been, you know, lately as well is like literally I did this challenge called, and I mentioned it once or twice on the show, but the 75 hard, which was kind of, I'm not a CrossFitter, but it's kind of prevalent in the CrossFit community where you're working out twice a day for 45 minutes and you're, one of them has to be outside and you have to drink a gallon of water and you have to read 10 pages of inspirational book. And so there were these to-dos and you had to do them every day for 75 days straight. So you had to do everything. It was no breaks. And so after I went through that, I then applied, I felt so good about that because a lot of it was combining these, you know, in that case, 10 pages of something that makes you feel, well, that like a nonfiction growth book, right? And so you had that paired with moving the physical body, even if it's, you know, lifting weights or for me, it was hiking outside a lot. And so moving the physical body in combination, I was like, wow, this is an interesting, I like the mysteries of life, right? I'm like, this is unlocking a new thing for me. And so after I did that, then I created my own kind of 40-day process. And then I leaned again into kind of, okay, I'm going to read scripture and I'm going to journal and I'm going to do these physical practices. One of them was outside every day for 45 minutes. And I'm going to do these things and see what happens. And I was at the end of it, I was kind of discouraged. I just ended this a couple of weeks ago and I was discouraged because it was like, huh. And then it was like I'd done all the work and I needed a little bit of time to recover. Like you would from a workout. And then after about a week, it was like, whoa, it was just this flood of new wisdom, I guess, or new learning. And I'm still in process. I'm pretty fired up because I'm still in process of that right now. But it was this what you're talking about. It was the mindset. It was the physical body doing things to open up the body, to release emotion. Breath was a part of what I was doing every day. It's short breath, but doing intentional breathing practice. And then for me, tying it to this, for the scripture side of it, was tying it to kind of this higher purpose and in service of others, you know, contribution. And so those things then became this like rocket fuel for just feeling really good and feeling really connected to myself and then, you know, my family and then my, you know, extended community. And so it's been a very, you know, I really like what you're talking about because I found it experimenting on myself to be so true. I guess that's why I'm fired up about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think what you just said is really key that kind of gets hidden a little bit, which is like, I feel really good. Mm-hmm. And one thing that the place I got my somatic certification from is called Pause Breathwork. And the founder of that is Samantha Skelly. And she said something that I will just never forget, which is if you want to feel better, you have to be a better feeler.
Right.
And I think that's why somatic work is so powerful, or any work that can really get you tuned into yourself and like, what do I need? Because a lot of us are taught not to feel, or if we have a bad feeling, don't feel it. We're constantly avoiding feelings. And that's what I was missing from any work on manifesting teaching, was people were like, how does it feel to have the thing that you want? And what I didn't realize was that I didn't know how to feel.
Right. And I think that's pretty common in high driven people, especially in the work environment. When we're driven, it seems like we have to suppress a lot of emotion and a lot of who we are to get ahead. And then once we kind of get ahead, then we realize that something's wrong, right? That this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I got to the top of the mountain and I can't see anything, right? There's all clouds up here. And so yeah, I think that's, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting, along with what you just said, if what we do is we look at other people and how they were successful, and then we follow mm-hmm. that path, and then we get somewhere along that path and we lose ourselves.
Yes.
Or what if sooner in the process to success or whatever goal you have, we were constantly measuring what they did in quotation mm-hmm. marks, whoever it is, against how it felt for us and then making it our own.
Right. And I think this sense of, I know Tony Robbins says this a lot, you know, success without fulfillment's failure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of us have experienced also. And, you know, in this unique time that we live in, is that we had some level of success, but we didn't have fulfillment. And so we had some time and space to think about that. And then we felt like failures and we thought, hey, what do I actually want to do? What makes me feel good? And when I say feel good, this isn't like this feel good isn't what I used to would be called feel good, right? So, you know, I had some really hard things said to me today. From a person that I love with all my life, they said some very hard things, but because I was centered and I was present and I was doing the practices and I'd been doing the practices, it came across loving instead of hurtful. Had I heard those same things even 2 or 3 months ago, it would have been very hard for me to hear and I would have been very angry or felt rejection. And instead, I could see nothing and hear nothing but love. The same words in the same tone, but different experience because of this connectedness of the mind, the body, and for me, the soul side of it, right? Seeing kind of the higher purpose or the higher power. Because now when I have feelings of ick or feelings of like, you know, oh, I don't want to feel this, or I, you know, then for me now it's an indication of where the wound is. And now we need to address the wound versus running from it. It's kind of like, okay, I just said something horrible to somebody because I was reactive, but where is that coming from, right? Yeah. Where is that, you know, where, because that's the, if I'm feeling good and then I have this feeling of not feeling good about myself or not feeling good about a relationship or whatever's happening here, then that's an indication of the next thing that I need to pray for, meditate on, walk in the woods and talk to God about and say, hey, where am I missing it? Because I know I am, because if I had it, if this was, you know, if I had this down and this had already processed in the physical body, I wouldn't be feeling bad about it. It would just be an experience. It wouldn't be a bad experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a great example. That's another great example of this holistic approach of mind, body, soul, because like when you have a bad feeling, mm-hmm. there's like a few ways you always have to process it. So there's a mindset and it's not always all three, but there's like, is this a mindset issue? Mm-hmm. Is this a practical issue where I need to do something? Or is this just an energetic issue that I need to deal with? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a mix of all three. So right. In the case of like somebody said something really that could have felt really mm-hmm. hard. He received it really well. What a great mm-hmm. example of being receptive. Mm-hmm. And so but if you were feeling really bad about it, it's like, well, there's a mindset issue here. Maybe I need to deal with self-worth. Mm-hmm. There's also a practical issue here of there might be an action here where I can take a step to correct this. Mm-hmm. And then there might be an energetic component of how can I maybe have boundaries around this in the future or avoid this in the future. And this happens all the time in entrepreneurship. A lot of people will, especially because once we start getting into the mindset stuff, they'll say like, okay, I have a new mindset issue. And then we'll talk about it. And it's like, well, it's not always a mindset issue. Like this sounds like you might have to set a boundary with this client.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or this sounds like you need to apologize. It sounds like you might have messed up here. So it's always the mindset and the embodiment and the action.
Totally. So thank you for your time today. I really appreciate you coming on the Bright Vibe podcast. You're welcome to come on and riff anytime you want to. We can do this again and we can take it in other directions if you choose to. I like to drop this question at the end of the show sometimes just to get a little bit of wisdom that maybe we didn't get out of the show. So this is a time to kind of say, okay, what else do we have? Well, let's get it one more last nugget, if we want to call it that. So I'm just going to take off the blinders. I'm going to take off all the conversation topics we talked about and say, what's one piece of wisdom that you've gleaned in your life that you think has had the most positive impact on that you wish other people knew?
I'm going to say the first thing that came to my mind, which is to put joy above wealth and in doing so, create more wealth anyway.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You don't become joyful when you're wealthy. Through joy, you can create wealth. And I agree with that 110% because I did a pass backwards the first time.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to go the other route this time.
Well, I think we forget. I think we start making money. We have an end goal in mind. We realize mm-hmm. we need money for that end goal. We get really focused on the money. We forgot about the end goal. But if we keep the end goal in mind first, then we end up building the thing we wanted to build.
Entrepreneurship work is hard enough. But when you are doing it from a joyful space or because you truly love it, then you never have a job. It's part of your extension of who you are. So I agree that that's an important key to success. And when I say success, I don't mean just financially. Success in life, right? Success in experiencing the life that is here for us to experience. Perfect. Well, Allison, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been a true pleasure, and I hope that we will run into each other again someday.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being a part of the Bright Vibe podcast. For more information, go to brightvibe.com. That's B-R-I-T-E, vibe, V-I-B-E.com. Thank you for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.